Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning and welcome to you and our radio audience. We're thankful for you tuning in and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for it's our purpose to speak only those things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. For that reason, if there's any question or comment that you have concerning something that we say on the program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject and you'd like for us to study it on the program, so that we'd be open to any suggestions that you might have, so contact us. You can do that by the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. You know, recent political protests in countries around the world underscore what we all know. We live in troubled times. Wars on several fronts threaten the security of millions. Economic crisis, increased unemployment and worry. Inexplicable violence takes the lives of innocent victims. And the bold corruption of political and religious leaders. And the amoral and the immoral decisions of legislatures and courts seek to spread seemingly the very fiber of our society. Yes, something is terribly wrong. But some people interpret the troubling state of the world as evidence that Jesus is going to come back soon. While we understand that he could return at any moment, we do not have a basis for interpreting these current events as signs of an imminent second coming. There have been other bad times in history, some of them worse than what we're seeing today. Jesus himself said that he would come as a thief in the night at a time when nobody would expect him. In Matthew 24, verse 42, he said, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." And Peter said the same thing about the Lord's coming in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." So instead of looking to the clouds, expecting Jesus to return soon, we should look to his word to know how to prepare ourselves to be with him for eternity. See, it won't matter whether we're dead or alive. He will come back, and he will call us. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." And it's in John chapter 5, notice what Jesus said in verses 28 and 29. "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and shall come forth, those that have done good to the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." It doesn't matter whether this happens tomorrow or 50,000 years from now. We will all meet the Lord. His return certainly is imminent for all of us. And two, you know, within a century, if somebody should hear this recording that we're doing on this program, this particular lesson, they will have reached their personal end of time. See, understanding our future helps us to keep things in perspective in these disturbing times. you know, oscillating stock prices and economic indicators, they can destroy political careers and they can consume fortunes. But at the end of the day, there's nothing more than numbers on pieces of paper. You know, whether one possesses a lot of pieces of paper or just a few, or maybe even none at all, he will leave this life the same way he entered it, naked and without a penny. Job said in verse 21 of chapter 1, "Naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return." You see, the problems of an afflicted and sick society reflects the fact, the sad fact, that many people today have no direction, no sense of purpose in life. Disoriented by empty philosophies of unbelievers, they don't know where they come from, they don't know where they're going. The theory of evolution denies the Creator, and it takes away any sense of roots. The humanistic philosophies, they all reject God's existence, and they rob man of the hope of eternity. And relativism, it excludes any concept of a moral or an ethical absolute, and it leaves a confused people who are blown about by every wind of doctrine with no guide, no anchor. And the result, in a time when such ideas are accepted and defended by people who are supposedly wise, it's an increase in disorientation. It leaves a desperate population. Friends, we do not need to wander aimlessly from one day to the next, living without purpose or direction. Theories and philosophies, they come and go. But Peter says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 25, God's word lives and abides forever. 3,000 years ago, a wise man tried to grasp the meaning of life. He sought pleasure, possessions, the fulfillment of material things, but one essential thing was missing. As he continued to look at life under the sun, he realized its vanity. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, let's read verses 2 and 3. "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all of his labor in which he toils under the sun?" You see, for those that are still wrapped up in limited human philosophies, the vanity continues. A person is born, he experiences some good and some bad moments, and then he dies, believing that his actions have no consequence beyond this life. But for those that serve God, life is not empty. It's not vanity. Thanks to our Creator, life is not just made up of things around us in this physical existence. The same book of Ecclesiastes closes with the keys that we need to get the most out of life. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1 says, "Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth." See, we need to look back. We need to remember our Creator. Then let's look at verse 1, but let's pick up with that and read through verse 7. We have here in these verses the descriptions of the latter times of our life. "While the sun is light, the moon and stars are not darkened, the clouds do not return after the rain, and the day when the keepers of the house tremble, the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because of a few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets, when they're afraid of height," and on this goes. He says, "Remember your Creator before the silver cord is broke, the golden bowl is broken." And then he says, "Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return unto God who gave it." See, we need to look back, remembering our Creator, but we need to look forward, recognizing that life here is brief, it's fleeting. And we need to live with an eternal perspective. Look at verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. The King James says, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. You see, the person that remembers the Creator will look to the judge and will recognize the importance of doing God's will. The passing of temporal things, including our decaying physical bodies that we see described in verses 1 through 7, that's no significance when we trust the Lord to receive us into the eternal habitation that He's gone to prepare. Friends, as long as the earth stands, there are going to be people who deny the Creator. They'll be condemning themselves in unrighteousness and in malice, just like those in Romans chapter 1 that we read about beginning with verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things that are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those that practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Friends, but there will be others who will remember their Creator, and they will look to eternity with hope and with faith. In the 8th chapter of Romans, let's read verses 24 and 25. He says, and if I can find it, I will read it. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. See, with this hope, we will be able to deal with the challenges of living for a time in a crazy and in an evil world that's around us. When we reject the emphasis on this world that consumes the attention of most folks, and we focus on what is lasting, solid, and heavenly, despair gives way to hope, and pessimism is overcome by a expectant confidence in the One who guides us in this life, and He anchors our souls in eternity. Let's end our study today by looking at verses 18 and 19 in Hebrews chapter 6. That by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who has fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence through the veil. Friends, our time is up. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you to our announcer. Magnify, oh
magnify. Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.